We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Growing up, Rogers attended a traditional church. But as he entered his late 20s, he began to confront the lessons of his youth. He became acquainted with the work of a progressive pastor named Rob Bell, and after he won the Super Bowl, the two men spent a great deal of time talking about what Rogers experienced on that bus, how he felt or didn't feel, and his realization that absolute success didn't give him inner peace. I think questions like that in your mind lead to really beautiful periods where you start to grow as a person, he says. And I think organized religion can have a mind-debilitating effect because there is an exclusivity that can shut you out from being open to the world, to people, and energy, and love, and acceptance. As Rogers' views on his faith began to shift, he grew increasingly convinced that the beliefs he had internalized were wrong, that spirituality could be far more inclusive and less literal than he had been taught. He says he changed his narrow-minded views about the world and his place in it, and spent more time thinking about his life off the field.
That's ESPN's Mina Kimes talking about her recent interview with Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, his journey from, well, kind of mainstream pop American Christianity, he called it closed-minded organized religion, to a new kind of spirituality that our guest here in the second hour of the program says is really our national religion. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Rob Bell, Aaron Rodgers, and those who have never heard the gospel. Pastor Peter Burfeind, author of the book Gnostic America, A Reading of Contemporary American Culture and Religion According to Christianity's Oldest Heresy. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Solomon Building the Temple in 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6. Joining us to talk about Rob Bell, Aaron Rodgers, and the conundrum of those who have never heard the gospel, Pastor Peter Burfeind. He's a regular guest. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio, author of the book Gnostic America, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Here's the Answer Rob Bell Won't Give Aaron Rodgers About Salvation for People in a Remote Rainforest. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
You say that the Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has actually just adopted our national religion. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it is a national religion. It's almost creedal. You know, I mean, the creed is, oh, I grew up in a Christian household, and when I went off to college, I began questioning things, and then I drifted away from the faith, and now I'm more spiritual and not so religious, and, you know, I dabble and get into mysticism and kind of craft my own spirituality, and it's very personal to me. But I don't believe in the church. I don't believe I need the church to guide me at all. And it's essentially what I call is Gnosticism, which is rarefying or abstracting your spirituality from any sort of religious forms. And Aaron Rodgers totally picked that religion up. And even in the interview, he says, or they asked him what his religious affiliation was, and he said he has none. And it's classic. I'm sure he still believes in God. Americans still believe in God, but the idea of putting any form to that God is one of the heresies. And of course, as Christians, we believe that the form of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God taking on human form and being accessible to us.
So you say it's, in addition to being a cultural cliche, that Aaron Rodgers kind of increasing agnosticism. That's how I describe it. I mean, it is Gnosticism, but it's also kind of in its form, I don't really know what's out there, but I know there's something thing. Is really just the end point of the natural trajectory, you say, of his original non-denominational pop American Christianity. How is that?
Yeah, well, the very phrase non-denominationalism. I mean, you don't denominate anything. You don't call something, by through doctrine. You don't say that this is true, this is false, but you kind of abstract your Christianity, or you start down the path of it, abstracting or rarefying your faith from the forms of doctrine, the forms of the sacraments, the forms of how Christ has made himself available to us in the church. You rarefy your faith from that, and at first you kind of your first stop on that path is to say, oh, well, I'm still a Christian. As long as everybody believes in the Lordship of Christ, let's not get into debates about what that means or how that works. Just as long as everybody, their heart pumps for Jesus. Well, you're already on that path, and so now you suddenly, people will say, well, that's just as hateful and exclusive and organized as what you came from. So then people kind of go down the path further and say, well, it's any spirituality. As long as you believe in God and have a spirit that guides you and gives you a sense of morality, that's what matters. So that's, it's the non-denominationalism, and I've written several articles on this, and it's a pretty subtle argument. But once God leaks beyond the forms that he has established where he is present in the church, meaning the word and the sacrament, once God leaks outside of that, there becomes a fuzzy line where God ends and you begin. And so you begin to have this sort of almost a God complex, but you feel that you and God are working together and he's talking to me and he's working through me. Well, suddenly you don't need the church anymore or doctrine or sacraments to be part of that journey. It's just you and God, man. You and God are doing your thing in the world, and God's working through you, and you're feeling God out. And that's classic Gnosticism, this sort of God is in me and we're working together to do whatever on the earth.
So what is the conundrum that Aaron Rodgers admits he had struggled with as a young Christian, and that apparently played a part in his path toward Gnostic American religion?
Yeah, it's one that I'm very sympathetic to. I'm an Army chaplain and also a campus pastor, and a lot of young people struggle with this issue of, okay, if Christ is the only way, and the way that this is revealed to everybody is through the proclamation of the gospel, what about those who have never heard the gospel? What about those who don't have a chance to repent and believe in Christ? And it's really a conundrum created by the fact of God's grace. I mean, if it were all based on works and how good you were, then there wouldn't be a problem. It would just be, if someone's good enough, they can make it. But we don't believe that. We believe that it's a grace thing and that it's all God's work. So, and that it happens through the word. So what do we do with those that have never heard the gospel? And a lot of people, they stumble in that issue. And I've done a lot of study on that myself, and I've got a solution that I think is better than some of the other ones that are out there.
We need to begin, as we address this conundrum, by saying that Scripture clearly teaches that man is born spiritually, that he is conceived and born in a state of spiritual hostility toward God,
right,
alienated from,
right,
God, that he is not in a neutral state with,
right,
respect to God or salvation.
Absolutely, and that's something I would say against a lot of the Reformed responses that I got from my my article, and it just kind of dawned on me, that's the Reformed answer to that, or the Calvinistic answer to that, is that, hey, they got Romans 1, and according to Romans 1, everybody can know about God through nature, and that's why they are without excuse. That's the language St. Paul uses. They're without excuse. And therefore, the poor person in the jungle who doesn't hear, well, they're without excuse. They can look at nature and figure out God on their own, and God, they'll be judged based on that. The problem with that is, that's what you said, is there's original sin. And as Paul makes clear in Romans 1, nobody actually does that. They could be able to find out about God, but because of our natural, because of original sin, we are spiritually dead. We're spiritually antithetical towards anything having to do with God, which is why Paul goes on to say they had a debased mind and they fall into all these sins. And then in the very next chapter, he says, and you yourselves are also without excuse. You who judge them, you're just as bad. The whole point is just as you said, we all stand condemned. And so I'm sympathetic to that idea of some people are saying, well, everybody's condemned. It shouldn't matter one way or the other. If that's the God we have, who the poor person in the jungle, well, they stand condemned. Well, that's the way it is. But to me, I see that as almost Calvinistic, kind of, hey, if they don't make it, God is God. He can do whatever he wants. you know, it's clay in his hands and he chooses not to save him. Oh, well, I can't accept that because I believe in Christ died for all people and that he redeemed and reconciled the whole world to God, and that spelling that out is, you know, I mean, that has to be spelled out somehow. What does that mean, that the gospel is universal in the sense that Christ did die for all people? And we can go into that if you'd like.
Well, yeah, so there's another pillar that we need to acknowledge here that's going to kind of form the foundation for your attempt to kind of take a swing at this conundrum of what about the person who, in the remote rainforest, who never had the opportunity to hear? And that is that, indeed, Christ's atonement was for all humankind, that none are accepted. It's an unlimited atonement. And you add there that it is quite clear that Scripture speaks without qualification about the gospel not only being preached to all humanity, but having at some point been heard by all humanity.
Yeah, well, and that's one of those passages that jumped out at me. I mean, you know, people think that I pursued this question because, oh, you know, what about the poor people that never heard, and I'm some sort of universalist who wants to, you know, get rid of the idea of hell. No, it's a lot of this was motivated by the text and these surprising little textual things, and that's one of them. St. Paul just blatantly saying in Colossians 1, talking about the gospel which has been preached to every creature under heaven. I mean, obviously, some people say, well, he's being hyperbolic. Well, what does that mean then? He does say it. And to me, I see that as Christ died for all people. He is a universal Savior. Luke begins with, you know, the good tidings to all people. And St. John says, a light to every man that comes, you know, that comes into the earth. I mean, he is a universal Savior. When he died, he reconciled all the world. Every child of Adam, he reconciled to the Father. So that should be a no doubt. Well, we have to understand that the proclamation of the gospel is just as much of the salvation story as is Christ's death and resurrection. I mean, the proclamation is the application, the subjective application of that objective reality to individuals. And to me, I've always seen it as almost like a Nestorianism, which is sort of separating God's divine side from his human side and denying that Christ brings the divine and the human together. But this idea that, well, at some point in salvation history, say at Pentecost or say at Christ's death, God declared that, yes, it's true, Christ died for everybody. Well, now we got to get the message out there. And if someone doesn't get that message, well, too bad for them. And then we become Calvinists and say, well, God must not have wanted them to be saved anyways. And to me, it just there's an inconsistency there. There needs to be some way that, or some possibility that this event that is for all people actually gets applied to people, and people have a chance to for it to be received or to reject it. I mean, it can still be rejected. You know, I'm not denying that many, many, many people reject the gospel, and many, many people will be in hell. I'm just saying I'm arguing that everybody will have a chance to hear the gospel in some way, mysterious way that we don't totally understand. But there too, I have a theory of how that might work.
Well, so and it is speculation. So we need to. Because
right,
it's not clear.
Right.
This is something that you are extrapolating from passages that are certain, and we'll concede here that your conclusions are not going to be, you know, we're not going to deliver them as this is the way it is. But if you would walk us through that extrapolation from those certain passages in addressing that conundrum.
Yeah, and again, I don't preach this in a sermon. This is the type of thing you bring up in Bible study when someone says, what about those who have never heard? And I'll say, well, this is one possible answer, or I'll give all the answers and say, this is where I fall on things. And I would just add for my detractors that everybody speculates on this. You know, when people go down the path of, well, God's a loving God, I mean, that's speculation too. They're speculating that way, you know. But anyway, so my argument is that based on the premise that the gospel is for all people, God will see to the proclamation of his word to every creature under heaven, if not already having done so. And you know, so we got this big gap. We got St. Paul and the apostles having preached the gospel in, say, 100 AD to certain areas in the Roman Empire, but very clearly he hasn't spread the gospel, or they didn't spread the gospel to the Aztec peasant, the Amazonian tribesmen, the people in Africa. there's all sorts of areas of the world that had not heard the gospel yet. And my argument is that when Christ descended into hell, it says in 1st or 2nd Peter, but one of the Petrine epistles, it says that he preached to the spirits that were in prison who died at the time of the flood. And based on that text, the ancient church had this strong idea, and it's almost universal, that when Christ descended into hell, it wasn't hell as we understand as the place of the eternally damned, but it was the place of the dead. And there's a lot of, I mean, Sheol in the Old Testament has a broad swath of meaning from the place where Jacob went to the place where the eternally condemned went. So Sheol is a broad category that includes a lot of people. Christ went down to Sheol, and not only did he preach and proclaim his coming to the Old Testament saints who had passed away in the Old Testament, just about every early church theologian believed that. And it's in our medieval iconography, and Luther himself actually endorses that understanding. But not only did Jesus preach and proclaim his coming to those who what we would call were in Abraham's bosom, but some of the ancient church teachers believe that he also preached the gospel to those who had never heard, people like Plato or Hammurabi or the Aztec peasant and the Amazonian tribesmen, that Christ also preached to that group. And at that point, then they would say, yeah, I'm going to go with that, or no, I reject that. I've got my own gods. And then at that point, they, along with the Old Testament saints, would have been liberated from Sheol. So in a sense, I kind of argue for three different territories in Sheol. Abraham's bosom on one hand, Gehenna, the place for those who heard the word of God in the Old Testament but rejected, and then what I call the place of God's overlooking, which in Greek is the word hyperidon, so I kind of made up the word hyperidon, a place where those went where God overlooked. Now, it's those people in that status that I would argue St. Paul was referencing when he was preaching to the Athenians. He's preaching to the Athenians, and he's talking about how you Athenians, you know, in the past you worshipped all these gods of stone and all these foolish gods that didn't do anything for you. And he said, very specifically, he said, in the past, God overlooked this ignorance, but now he calls you to repent. So in other words, you know, what is this? That's the thing that really struck out at me. What does this mean that he overlooked their ignorance? You know, that he just sort of, you know, what does that mean? They didn't go to hell? But then wouldn't that take away from the fact that we have to believe in Jesus to be saved? So this is a possible answer to that. He overlooked it. He didn't ignore it. He deferred it. Those who died in the Old Testament era, say in Greece, they died not believing in Christ but never having heard of them. God overlooked their ignorance and deferred their judgment until after Christ descended down there and proclaimed the gospel to them. That's my theory. And then, so the question remains, what about those in the New Testament who had never heard the gospel? And this gets into kind of a, what I call a time warpy argument, but basically people who die now, never having heard the gospel, are still in effect in the Old Testament age. Because the preaching of the gospel is the thing that kind of brings people into the New Testament era. So dying in the Old Testament age, they kind of die under Old Testament rules, which means God overlooks their ignorance. And then when they die, they would be approached by Christ's preaching and then have a chance to either receive it or reject it. Now, I guess I just got word on a Facebook message that this was the teaching of some Scandinavian Lutheran in the Orthodox era. So I got to look at that and find out if the guy was a heretic or not, and I should be worried.
Pastor Peter Burfeind is our guest. We're talking about Rob Bell, Aaron Rodgers, and those who have never heard the gospel. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that particular subject, and we'll deal with whether or not Pastor Burfeind is suggesting something like purgatory.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I believe in God the Father Almighty. Millions confess the great creeds of the church each week. But why? Learn more about Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in The Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Rob Bell, Aaron Rodgers, and those who have never heard the gospel. Pastor Peter Burfind is our guest. You can listen to some great Christianity and culture teaching at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November the 10th and the 11th in Houston, Texas. Presentations on the sexual revolution, Christian marriage, the Benedict option, Christians engaging the news media, and religious liberty. Attendance is limited to 400. Registration is $120 and includes 3 meals. Child care is free, courtesy of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston. Just to be sure here, Pastor Burfind, you are not suggesting something like purgatory or even something like, I mean, someone might call it a second chance, are you?
And thank you for letting me bring that up. I mean, because immediately, it sounds like purgatory. No, purgatory is something totally different. Purgatory has to do with the idea that your soul has to be purified. It's a Platonic idea, a Neoplatonic, whatever. But it's this idea that your soul has to be purified before it can receive its beatific vision. And it can't be a second chance because for the people that have never heard, they never had a first chance. So there is only one chance. I mean, or, you know, there's only, you get the one chance of hearing God's word, you know, so it's not a second chance theology at all.
I think we should also note here on the other side of the scale, so to speak, that we often think about the norm being people having not heard the gospel, and then the few do hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But I think it is safe to say that increasingly, as the final day draws near, the ability of the gospel to be heard far and wide, even in the world's most remote places, is increasing. Far more hear and reject, sad to say,
yes,
than never hear.
Right. And that's something that, you know, people say, well, you know, if they heard it after dying, you know, surely they would receive it then. So wouldn't it be better just to leave someone to die and then face Christ preaching, because surely they'll believe then. And then I go back to Jesus's parable about the rich man and Lazarus, where he says, you know, even if someone rose from the dead and preached to your brothers, they're not going to listen. So, I mean, this doesn't get into the, you know, the theology of rejection and hardness of heart and versus grace and why do some receive and some don't. But it's basically to, you know, kind of flesh out Jesus's own theory, you know, that he says when he says this very word that you hear now will be the same word that will judge you on judgment day. You know, well, how can that be if they're not going to eventually, if at some point they won't have contact with that word? So yeah, it's there are some implications of this theology that, you know, that go against the grain of how a lot of people have thought. I mean, I grew up with that sense of urgency of, you know, you got to get out there and preach the gospel or else people are going to go to hell. Basically, the burden on someone's eternal salvation comes to us. And I just think that's terrible. I mean, just, it's wrong. It's wrong theologically, but it's also just, I think it turns Christians into these kind of urgent salespeople, and, you know, it kind of turns people off from it. But the reason rather for doing evangelism and mission work is out of love. It's out of love for people that, hey, there's this great news that Christ died for your sins, that he redeemed you. You know, come live in the joy with us and see the joy and taste the joy that we have. I just think it adds a different perspective to doing evangelism and mission work.
So finally, back to Aaron Rodgers and Rob Bell. What is fundamentally wrong with these popular ideas held by people like Rob Bell and now, sadly, Aaron Rodgers, countless millennials? I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Yeah, where do I begin on that? People should go back and look at or listen to the issues on Gnosticism. He had a 5-part series, was it earlier this year? But people should listen to that or get my book, Gnostic America, because it really is Gnosticism. And what it does is it's deceptive. It denies really the formal properties of our salvation, that God took on the form of a bondservant in Jesus Christ and has located our salvation outside of us, extra nos, outside of us, which guarantees that it's by grace. You know, if it's outside of me, it's not something I'm doing, but something someone else is doing. And what it's doing is it's placing the burden of salvation back on my spiritual musings, on my faculties of will, emotion, or intellect, versus receiving what Christ has done for us. I mean, that's kind of the essential problem with it, aside from just the complete disavowal of God's word. You know, I mean, that's a big problem too, obviously.
Pastor Peter Burfein is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio. You heard him mention his book, Gnostic America, a reading of contemporary American culture and religion, according to Christianity's oldest heresy, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Here's the Answer Rob Bell Won't Give Aaron Rodgers About Salvation for People in a Remote Rainforest. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Peter, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Solomon Building the Temple in 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6, with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.